Ruth McKay is a marriage and family therapist here in Central New York. I would like to read an excerpt from her essay, Innocence in the Face of Darkness. She deftly traces how families can get trapped in disturbing patterns of cruelty and abuse. For 17 years, I worked with women who were parents of young children. Each woman struggled with something that had come to be called severe and persistent mental illness. Some of these women had experienced early betrayal and abandonment and felt a deep and raging loneliness that was carried into the present, even into their relationships with their own children. Some felt abandonment when a one-year-old child showed joy at walking independently instead of longing to be carried close. Some wore visible scars of the emotional imbalance caused by unforgotten pain, fine or jagged lines along their wrists and inner arms that mapped out desperate attempts to find a release from unendurable suffering. Rosemary tested me by uncovering the thick, brutal scars on her arms during our first meeting at her children's daycare, as if to ask, "Can you take this, honey? 'Cause if you can't, I want you to hit the road now and not make promises of being there for me that you can't keep." Rosemary had two children, a girl and a boy. The boy was almost three and had significant developmental problems, but was a happy, friendly child, often smiling and wanting to show me some latest find from the street or the thrift stores his mother liked to search out. His four-year-old sister had some behavioral issues, sometimes withdrawn and mute, sometimes moving with bursts of energy and a willfulness against her mother's direction and grip. With her pale, smooth skin and white gold hair falling in unkempt waves and ringlets, she looked like one of her mother's dolls. At our last meeting, I arrived at our usual appointment time to find Rosemary uncharacteristically wearing makeup, thick, garish, preparing to go out and seeming surprised to see me. She reported that one of the new neighbors came over now and babysat while she went to the bus station in the evening to pick up some extra money to buy the trinkets for her kids that brought her such delight and were like good mother badges to her. So she had returned to prostitution, she was letting me know, and I was feeling uneasy, wondering if I would hear enough to get help from Children's Protective Services. The babysitter then came into the room where Rosemary and I were standing talking, entering from a room where Rosemary had told me her daughter was napping after preschool. "Oh, he just lies down with her to help her fall asleep," Rosemary said, looking at me, her denial disappearing for a silent second in our locked gaze. The freckled, red-haired young man, barefoot and wearing a sleeveless T-shirt over his muscled 14-year-old wiry frame, finished buckling his thick leather belt and introduced himself to me, trying to cajole me into seeing him as nothing but a child himself, as he had done with Rosemary. But the innocence he copied with his sly smile was a poor cover for the darkness he saw me see in him. The knot returns to my stomach now, not just for what happened to the child, but for Rosemary's having to live with what she had allowed to happen, for what she chose over protecting her child, for letting her daughter take steps along the dark and dangerous path that had long ago led to the scars on her arms.